All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. January the 26th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. If you are on this side of the country, you are probably dealing with snow or ice. But definitely snow. We definitely had a big snowstorm come through yesterday. It's so funny, man. You know, last Monday, what's today? Monday. So a week ago today, I think I even shared on this podcast that all of a sudden in my feed of whatever bullshit I was watching or reading, this big storm was heading our way. And I tell you, last week on Monday, I'm like, we're going to get nailed. And of course, throughout the week, it still looked like we were on the radar, and we definitely got nailed, but it definitely turned out to be a storm that was not like what they were predicting on Monday. We ended up getting a kind of, and it was sort of the best of both worlds, I suppose, but we got a lot of snow, and then it turned to rain, and that storm went north, and at one point during the week, they're like, oh, it looks like it may be going more south. Really, what it says is nobody knows what the fuck they're talking about, right? I mean, they can predict, and man, the drama was flying, and you know, the anxiousness was rising, but sure enough, the storm came yesterday. We did get snow. It did turn to rain, and luckily I had the snowblower. I was able to blow the snow up, and then of course shovel the slush and get everything clear. My oldest son, he was back up at his mom's up in Pennsylvania. He said they got a lot of snow. We have in-laws up in Connecticut. They got 12, 14 inches. So, you know, there was a lot of snow to be had. It just wasn't going to be had by us. And honestly, I'm cool with that. I'm not a huge fan of snow unless it's getting me something, right? Back in the day, back in my drinking day, right? Or even in my sober days, you know, if a snowstorm could affect me having to go to work or do something, I was always a big fan. But unfortunately today, this kind of weather only creates major inconvenience because, you know, I have a clientele. And luckily it sort of hit, you know, obviously today is Monday. It hit yesterday, so we're off today. The kids are out of school, so that's fun for them. But didn't really affect me too bad. I actually did go into to work this morning and cut a lady's hair. She had texted me. She's like, can you fit me in today? I was like, let me see. Yeah, because I had nothing going on. And so I went and did her hair, made a little money, and then I went to the meeting. And, you know, Mondays are great. I have, you know, I'd made that change. I was just going to start going to the Monday afternoon meeting and give the Monday night meeting a break, and which it was good. But, you know, there are times during that Monday evening meeting where we go through, you know, some good steps that I do enjoy listening and chatting about that. I think tonight is either 8 or 9, which I do enjoy. I think I spoke on 7, like, yeah, 8 or 9, whatever. But I also like the Monday afternoon meeting. It's big it's a big book, 12 and 12, or not the 12 and 12, it's just a big book. And, it's a great group of people, a lot of fresh faces, not that fresh, but you know, different faces. And so I've enjoyed it. And so I want to get there today. And then I was at the meeting, and my buddy who runs tonight's meeting is like, are you not going to be at the meeting tonight? I go, I don't know. I go, I don't know, man. Let me see what's happening. There's a good chance I may go tonight. There isn't a whole lot going on, and, you know, I can only watch so much TV and fuddle around the house. So maybe it is on the radar, but we'll see. But I know one thing. I got my meeting taken care of for today, and it was a great meeting. And the reading was on, and it's kind of they actually started at the bottom of page 30. It says, we are like men who have lost their legs. They never grow new ones. And it's a great chapter to read. We read a couple pages. But I just thought I would, it's kind of, it's a fun story, but it talks about, at least what I got out of it was, you know, this, all of the different things that I tried to do in my drinking, or in the story, it seems like all the things people, different things they tried to do to be able to continue doing what they thought they liked doing, which is drinking, right? Changing what we drink, you know, trying different kinds of wines, switching from bourbon over to, I don't know, daiquiris. I don't know the exact details, but I can relate. I know that, but I would be, you know, I remember in my drinking, I would usually buy what I would buy, like maybe a pint or a, you know, a fifth or something. But, you know, because I knew that if I, you know, I didn't want to get too much because I didn't want to drink too much. But then I started thinking, well, maybe if I get two bottles, because, you know, of course, I'm starting to be concerned if the guy at the liquor store is paying attention to how much I'm drinking, right? I'm starting to get into my head about that. And then I'm like, well, if I buy a bigger bottle, I won't have to come back tomorrow, right? And then, of course, you know, I would drink the whole fucking bottle. So I had to be careful about that. But trying to drink, I remember, because I was a big vodka drinker. And, but I remember trying to have like, Jack and Coke or something, trying to mix it up because I thought, well, maybe it's just the vodka that gets me in all these predicaments. And, what would usually happen is that I would, you know, start with that and then switch over to vodka or, you know, some stupid like that. But I can relate, you know, all the different things I tried to do to, you know, not as much extend my drinking. I don't ever consider, or I never thought quitting drinking was something I would do, but maybe I could adjust things to prevent some of the bad things that would happen due to my drinking, right? Quitting drinking was never really, you know, I guess I would think about it, especially once I was drunk. I do recall calling the AA hotline a couple times. I do remember contemplating on suicide a few times. But yeah, quitting drinking was never really an option. But how I could adjust what I drank and when or how much maybe would extend how long I could keep up this, I don't know, so-called drinking career. Years, the band Live, Mental Jewelry. Great first album. I think that's their very first album. So good. My oldest son was digging a Live song, and I said, you should check out their first album. He's like, oh, okay, I'll check it out. But I'm sure he didn't. But, you know, great album, great song. So, yeah, you know, of course, obviously, going through whatever I went through, I got to that point, you know, I had to have the complete humiliation, ego devastation, the act of providence. That was the thing that brought me into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. It wasn't a decision amongst family, right? This wasn't a what do they call it? Whatever you call it, when they all gather and fucking basically give you no option to get sober. It was none of that. It was getting my ass kicked and having the devil knocked out of me and giving me a small brief moment where I decided, you know, and I've said before, if it wasn't for that hospital, I don't know where I'd be, because I'd had act of providences before, right? I remember getting my DUI. I had one DUI, and I remember waking up in the morning and I felt so fucking humiliated. I was so embarrassed and ashamed, and I couldn't believe that I got a DUI. My parents were out of town, and I just was just, you know, what the fuck? And I, you know, I probably didn't drink that night, right? I probably didn't drink two nights. But eventually, I would drink again because I just didn't have, you know, AA, right? I didn't have anybody surrounding me. I didn't have anybody helping me in that real, that moment where, like Anthony Kiedis says, that window opens up a little bit, right? And I, you know, on the night I got the DUI, I waited too long and it shut, right? But March 31st, 1997, the window opened up a little bit and I jumped through. And there I was, right? Popped out on the other side. AA scooped me up. Talked about my buddy who shared the meeting of the night, how he went up there and got me. He went up there. It wasn't just me. Any fool that was upstairs, they went up and tried to ask to come down to an AA meeting. And I just happened to say yes. And that would be the beginning of the journey. And thank God. I'm so grateful. But, you know, the hard part for me, and I, you know, where the story talks about all the changes that we make and, you know, these different attempts of different paths to just avoid the one thing, which is to quit drinking, right? It doesn't even say, you know, to quit drinking and find an AA program. It just says to quit drinking. And, you know, I got past that. But where that, the tough part for me would be, was to actually work a program, right? And it talks about it in this reading how, you know, people, you know, actively drinking will read, you know, meditation material or books from authors to try to self-help books and all of the different things, right? All the different attempts and ways that we can avoid having all of the pain that comes from that life of drinking and drugging, except for the one, which is to quit, right? You know, the self-help books, the programs. I shared, I went and saw my doctor and said I felt like shit. And he's like, well, how much do you drink? And I said, just a couple beers. He says, well, if that's all you're drinking, a couple beers, you know, well, how about try Lexapro or Zoloft or something? And I was like, yeah. Anything to quiet down the pain in my heart and in my mind and in my spirit. Anything I could do other than quit drinking. And it's sort of the same thing when I even, once I got sober, right? I was involved in that outpatient program. We just met once a week. It wasn't intense, right? It was just a once a week meeting that we would meet. But that was there, you know, that sort of put some guardrails up. Those guys really helped me want to keep doing what I was doing. I think we were there for each other. You know, the meetings, obviously, just the change, right? I mean, my existence prior to that day was so terrible, dull and bleak and no hope, misery, so engulfed in self. It was just brutal. And so just to be free of that, because I tell you, once I put down that drink, it solved, you know, and I shared in the meeting, like I said before, you know, what was the only thing I would hope for to solve by quitting drinking was drinking and driving. Right, but I didn't realize this self-centered prison that I was in, and this self-loathing and self-destruction, and all of the shit that I was doing that I had just become so used to. Right, driving down that road after my first meeting, and that peace, right? Peace is now, right? That peace that came over me, I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting all this, right? So to be free of that burden of that, you know, it was nice, and that sort of kept me in the program, you know, for a while, right? And then, you know, having a sponsor and doing all the things. And then finally, you know, it was time to start working on the steps. And I was like, well, right, like I'm okay with not drinking, right? I don't mind coming to these meetings. I don't even mind doing some of these steps. But really, you know, the ones with God in them, you know, I'm not here for, I'm not in a religious cult, right? I'm not here for the religion, right? I'm not here for the scripture, whatever we wanted to call it. I was here because I just didn't want to drink. And so I was willing to do some of the steps, right? Yeah, sure. Of course, admit I'm powerless over alcohol, that my life's unmanageable, obviously, right? Those words, when I read them that day, they don't have the same meaning as they have today, right? Came to believe in a power greater than ourselves that could restore us to sanity. Well, power's in there, so that must mean God. So we'll put that one on the back burner, right? Right. Admitted my turn my will, right? And my thinking and my actions over to the care of a God. Same problem, different step. God of my understanding, right? So that one was sort of like, eh. And then, you know, let's make a list, right? And let's read it. Now, these things I can do, right? It's the God ones that I had the most issues with. And so, you know, I would use all of the different excuses, but all sort of the same excuses, right? Because they really stem from the same place, self, the devil. The devil doesn't want us to stop drinking, and the devil definitely does not want us to work the 12 steps of this program. And so the first is like, okay, all right. So listen, let's try a bunch of other things before we put down the bottle, right? Let's do this. Let's hide our keys. Let's only drink vodka. Let's, you know, whatever it is. Let's give ourselves a bunch of rules so that we can try to preserve, right, ingesting this alcohol. And this is all supported by the devil, the dark side, self, whatever. And we did that for a long time, right? But I kept getting the short end of the stick, right? And so eventually, right, having that humiliating moment, and then finally the devil's like, out. And I had a chance to dry out. And really, that's what I was doing. I was drying out because I was getting sober. I think the definition is to be free of alcohol, right? And so I was definitely that. I was sobering up. I was drying out. But the devil was still there. And the devil's like, you know, all right, pump the brakes. All right, we've got to change. It's, listen, I'm not going to get into politics, but it's a lot like politics. It's a holy war. And the devil's like, all right. He's not going to drink. Well, let's start making new rules. Like, okay, we'll do this, but we're not going to do that, right? We don't want to do anything that has to do with God because God, you know, I don't believe, you know, that there's a punishing God or whatever the reasons I had in my own head. I'm like, I don't have to do that because I don't really believe in God. And so I'll just do the things that don't involve God. And, you know, I mean, it works, I guess. I don't know. I don't really think it does work. In fact, I shared in the meeting today, it took me about 14 years really of being sober, working the steps, going to a lot of meetings, hanging out with a lot of people that are in recovery before I started to understand the relationship with God. And what a wonderful relationship with God I have, right? I'm very grateful for that. But, you know, early on, I was like, you know, I talked about how, you know, when my first sponsor, well, he was my temporary sponsor really just got me into the meetings, got me into the routine, you know, got me into shaking hands, got me into hugging people, right? And then I had my real first sponsor, Mike R. And Mike was great. You know, he worked a great program. I think, I mean, you know, he was doing it. Right, but he also memorized the preamble. Right, he was still trying to be a little bit awesome. But Mike was great, and you know, I remember doing the steps. He said we got to work through the steps, and I was like, okay, right. I'm great at when someone tells me what to do, following directions, right? Because you know, I don't have any original thought, right? I'm a you tell me what to do, and I'll do it, and I'll do the best I can, and hopefully you'll approve, and I'll feel good about it. And so when he said that I needed to start doing the steps, I'm like, all right. And we started working through them, right? But it was all based in self. It was all still, you know, the devil's like, you know, yes, nod your head, yes, you know, we're going to do it, fine, let's do this, okay. But we're not going to do God, right? Because if I don't say, dear God, and God doesn't go, yes, I'm out, right? I have no faith, right? I don't believe. I need proof. And I was getting no proof. And anytime, you know, self is seeking proof from God, it ain't going to work out. And so I was like, whatever. But it was like, it was, I just kept hanging in there, right? Eventually drinking, right? And then coming back in. And now looking back at it, how I totally unwound, it was all basically because I didn't work the steps of this program. I tried to do everything. I'm like, well, if I go to a lot of meetings, then that has to be pretty good, right? It must be sort of close, right? And it wouldn't be until after I drank and came back and then met up with Matt and started doing the steps again. And, you know, I've shared before I did my first four step, but I wouldn't read my four step. Or actually, I read it with my sponsor because honestly, I wasn't truthful, right? It was probably two or three things in there that I had done that I didn't want to admit, and I kept them out. And I'm like, well, how can that really be a big deal? You know, that's probably what the devil was telling me. How can that be that big of a deal if you don't share that, right? Like my buddy says, there should be some human on this planet that knows everything that you've done, so that we know what you're capable of, right? But being too embarrassed to talk about some of the little things and then, not, you know, never really sharing that and never really doing it completely, but always something in the back of my mind telling me that's going to be fine. It can't be that big of a deal. We know. Well, it is a big deal. And eventually going out and drinking and then, when, you know, coming back and being like, you know, I have to tell this, these things. And at this time when I came back, Matt was my sponsor, and I was like, I did a four-step. I wrote it all down. Some of the things I didn't share with him, I ended up taking my four-step and going back to my first sponsor who I was too embarrassed the first time to read and read it with him. And I will never forget, he was like, everybody's done this stuff. I was like, okay, well, there it is. And but it was true. You know, I really had to be honest. And was there a bright light? Was there a burning bush moment? Not really, right? But it definitely, you know, when I changed my sobriety date 2 years back into being in recovery for pain pills, and I was like, why do I have to eat my... Matt's like, you're going to have to change your sobriety date. And I go, why? I didn't drink. He goes, if you don't change your sobriety date, you're never going to find serenity. And I was like, oh, God. And, if, you know, I honestly, did I agree? Not really. But, you know, Matt said it, and I was like, you know, I really liked him. So I was like, okay. And so I changed it. And I'm so grateful that I did. I don't want an asterisk by my sobriety date, even though sometimes I will say, well, that is the last time that I took pills, but it's been 19 years since I drank, right? Like, I still have to, ego and pride and self still has to spew out a little bit there, but I'm so grateful that I did it, you know? I mean, after the next day, it didn't really matter, right? It didn't really matter. It was really about being honest, and that's, you know, and that's what's worked for me, and but like I said today, and I just shared, you know, it was probably 14 years. Like, I just celebrated 17 years. It's been about 14 years before I started to understand, you know, the third step, you know, making better choices, freeing myself up of fear. I remember when I read in the first step for the first time, it said, fear made us this way. And I was like, I don't ever remember reading that. Fear made us like this. And then I would, of course, go into my first drink with my buddy Danny and, you know, thinking for the longest time, right? The longest time, that was a fun night, right? But once I heard that, I had to take a second look at it and realize, you know, he asked me, do you want to try drinking? And it wasn't that I wanted to try drinking. I was afraid that if I didn't, he wouldn't like me. And I thought he was so cool. And so I was like, yes. So fear did do this. Was I trembling, chewing my nails in fear? No. But was I inside wanting to be liked by the coolest kid I knew? Absolutely. And so it's true. Self, right? It's all selfishness. And, you know, at the time, I'm like, I didn't even think about the consequences. But later on, through my drinking and drugging, it was always about not caring, right? Not giving a shit about the outcome of this. You know, when I had the drink, I never thought, well, what happens if I get drunk and throw up and my mom and dad have to be woken up? Well, never thought about that, but sure enough, I got drunk, I threw up, and then Danny crunched a bunch of cereal in my puke to try to hide the smell. But I never, you know, I didn't care, right? Because I wanted Danny to like me and whatever Danny, because Danny would also introduce us to rifling through my parents' medicine cabinets for pills. He would introduce us to marijuana. He was really, as much as I liked old Danny boy, he was really, you know, he was a bad, I hope my parents, my kids never meet one, a Danny, right? Yeah, so whatever. The point is that, you know, just because I made it into the rooms doesn't mean that my work is done. And just because there's things to do, you know, these are things I get to do. Well, I say have to do. I mean, you know, I think the results are better. But I guess the point was is that I see, you know, I've seen me and I see other people, how they will make lists and reasons why not to come into the rooms at all. But once they're in, then they use that same tactic to not do the steps of the program. And if a person can come in, if I can come in and do the 12 steps of this program and implement them into my life, I will start to have a relationship with God that is not threatening, right? It is not a bad God. It is peace, love, and free of fear. And I have that today. I have it today, and it's all because I ignored all the reasons why not to do the steps, and I started to pay attention for all the reasons to do the steps. And, you know, that's a big deal. So, yeah, bottom of page 30 on the in the big book is where we started reading. Check it out. It's a good story. All right, let me read the Daily Reflections, and then I'm going to – I don't know what I'm doing, man. This is a boring time of the year right now. All right. Here we go. Rigorous honesty. Absolutely. January 26th. Who wishes to be rigorously honest and tolerant? Who wants to confess his faults to another and make restitution for harm done? Who cares anything about a higher power, let alone meditation and prayer? Who wants to sacrifice time and energy in trying to carry his AA message to the next sufferer? No, the average alcoholic, self-centered to the extreme, doesn't care for this prospect. Unless he has to do these things in order to stay alive himself. Yep. 12 steps, 12 traditions. I am an alcoholic. If I drink, I will die. My what power, energy, and emotion this simple statement generates in me. But it's really all I need to know for today. Am I willing to stay alive today? Am I willing to stay sober today? Am I willing to ask for help? And am I willing to be a help to another suffering alcoholic today? Have I discovered the fatal nature of my situation? What must I do today to stay sober? Yeah. Good reading, man. All right, listen, I appreciate you letting me share. I hope everyone is having a great day. I hope you didn't get too affected by the weather. And catch you later. Bye. For selfishness and separation have led me to believe that the world is not my problem. The world is not my problem. I am the world. And you are the world. And I, yes, I am the world. And you are the world. If all of the ignorance in the world passed a second ago, what would you say? And who would you obey now? I am here to say that